The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, second hour of the National Intel Report on this Thursday, 10th of January, 2013, almost said 12, 2013. And Mark, we're talking about corporations, status. Everything is incorporated now. And I particularly enjoy Corporation Nation because it actually shows where cities and towns incorporated, some just a few years ago, some in the 80s, a lot in the 70s, 60s. And it comes down to an issue. When you talk about property, if you can show deed of ownership, and that's a joke unto itself.
Yeah.
But if you, we always think of being property as something that we can buy or sell. And that when we're on that property gives us certain rights that are inviolate, unless they come up with special rules of eminent domain or whatever the case may be, for the greater public good.
It's a blighted community.
Well, but here at issue, and the founders knew this. This is why the founding fathers initially had people that were voting were true stakeholders. You know, not this crap that they're trying to give you now. That's a feel-good term. Well, you're a stakeholder, so you have a say in this. No, we don't. What we do is just speak words, and they just disappear into thin air. They are operating a system, and it has nothing to do with the Constitution. The founders knew that private property ownership, you are a true stakeholder, therefore you should have a say, ergo, in who you vote for. And if you're not a property owner, guess what? You don't get to vote. Not some slob living in some ghetto someplace that's on welfare. I don't give a damn what his opinion is and what he wants to vote out of the public largesse. I don't care. But anyhow, go ahead. That's my small small rant.
I agree.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about these little cities, though, and this ties back into privatization. What they're doing is, you know, we used to have city sanitary services and all this other paraphernalia, and the city did it. If you had a problem, you called up the city, and it was taken care of. Well, they privatized all this stuff. But see, what they forgot to tell you is through privatization, they do negotiate contracts, but they tie that bill. That bill isn't separate. It's tied into your city utility bill or your city services bill. So what they've done, they put your house up as collateral for your privatized city services. They're eating us alive.
Well, I mean, down here in Texas, you know, you've seen this sham. How long have you been in Texas, Mark?
Oh, God, 40 years?
Okay. The Public Utilities Commission, rate hikes. Now, we're led to believe that this is a public utility. Why do we need a public utilities commission if this is a private corporation, and what say do we have over what they do? This always fascinated me. Well, the Public Utility Commission is granting, you know, XYZ Electric Company the okay for rate hikes. Really? How do you do that without having competing companies providing service? And you can go out and shop with whomever you want. No, you're stuck with this illusion. Well, I can use this power company because they're saying I'm going to save 1 or 2 cents a kilowatt. And then only to see your rates shoot right back up to the competitive base out there. Hang on one more second here.
Okay.
I've got to take this break. We'll be back.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality energy and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of balance concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Extend your life.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
You know, Mark, I was thinking during the break, Nevada, 95% owned by the federal government corporation. it's supposed to be, well, we the people, we own that. But when they transfer or sell off any assets, whether it be land or existing infrastructure that we, the people, by way of our taxes or bonds or levies or whatever the case may be, you know, we're the ones that made the initial investment. We're the ones that sweated to pay for it and build it and do whatever. And it for it to be transferred and sold off as if it belonged to them. Now, who is given the government the power to negotiate supposedly what we the people own? And did I get this? I used to joke about this, Mark. If you live in a city and you're paying taxes, and instead of passing bonds, this is what they used to do. That if they would put something on the referendum for a vote, okay, we want to do this, we want to build a rec center, we want to build a new school, whatever the case may be.
Right.
People would vote on it and say yes, and a plausible argument was given as to why the money should be expended. Then they would collect the tax or sell the bonds to do whatever project they wanted to do. But I always question this. So if I've lived in this little community or city or whatever township for all these years, and I've paid taxes or I've paid for that, when I leave and I pick up and I go someplace else, can I have my check back for the investment in that? Because I want to get paid back what should be mine.
Well, you're a share owner.
Well, I'm a shareholder, but see, I lose the benefit of it if I leave. So if I do leave, can I have my share of what you've taken from me because I no longer enjoy the use of it?
Well, they got the solution for that. What these little corporate jurisdictional municipalities are doing, John, these cities, they're trying to remove themselves from providing the basic city services. They're going to privatize those. You know what they're going to be in charge with? Entertainment. Look at what they're doing with the football stadiums, the fireworks displays, the fall fest, the spring fest, the beer fest. They're going into the entertainment business. Your city, corporate city municipality, is in the job of entertaining. They're not providing city services. They're in the entertainment. They just want to manage the services and take the kickbacks thereof. Now, I got a question for you. And this goes back to kind of what Clint was getting into with how things have changed. And I brought this up to a friend of mine here earlier today, and it's the first time I talked about it. How did we get the term civil war? This all ties into what we're talking about.
Or civil rights?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, or civil anything.
We went from God-given rights before the Civil War to civil rights after the Civil War. It has nothing to do with freeing the slaves. We all know that. But it really has nothing to do with changing the jurisdictional attitude.
Well, and that might lend credence to the question I've always asked in the ACLU. When you hear the card-carrying communists over there at the ACLU, the lawyers that are, well, they earn their bread from the system, why do they always talk about civil rights? Why do they not speak of constitutional rights? They give it lip service from time to time just to, I guess, calm the natives down. But they always refer to civil rights. What happened during that Reconstruction? What happened after that Civil War? And just as a little side note, Mark, I knew this was going to happen, and today I'm seeing the announcements of that wonderful movie, Lincoln. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it. That's all they're talking about on TV, though.
Well, yeah, and they've garnered 12 categories for the Academy Awards already, and I'm thinking, really? Is this because of a well-done period timepiece? Forget the content, forget the script. It was just the actors and the sets and the costumes? Because what that movie argued right out of the chute was the 13th Amendment, that we need to pass the 13th Amendment. There was already a 13th Amendment before they transformed it and ripped the old one out. And the ironies of ironies, what was Lincoln? He was a lawyer, which the 13th Amendment precluded him from being in a public office with a title of nobility. That's where that movie started out at. And then it went into the slavery issue. Well, it's slavery, you know, we've got to emancipation and do this. But the argument was put forth for the 13th Amendment, which already existed. But they said nothing about changing it. It's just we have to institute it. I don't know.
The Civil War. That's the reason, one of the reasons I brought that up and I wanted to get that in today, is because I think we got to head this stuff off at the pass. I want everybody to think about what me and you are talking about today.
Well,
think real hard, because the propaganda it's overwhelming right now.
And I would suggest to people, if you've got a little time, they have an autoplay in 20 parts, and the parts are about 9 to 10 minutes long on YouTube. Go and just punch this in on YouTube, Corporation Nation, and watch it, folks. Because I think, you know, whether, you know, it's been suggested, well, we need a political movement. Well, we need to kick down their doors. I've said this myself. We need to put the political pressure on them to get them to pay attention to the Constitution, which they threw out with a baby in the bathwater when what came in? The corporate status?
Yeah.
They're not listening. They haven't listened before. They're not listening now. And I don't think they're going to be listening to any constitutional arguments in the future.
And if you decide to vote Democrat or if you decide to vote Republican, the Corporation Nation continues right along.
That's a fact. It's just the illusion. It's just the illusion for the reality show that everybody's living in this
country.
Thanks
for giving me a chance, John.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate your call. You know, I've had, a little side note, I've had a couple of people in the last couple of days call me wanting shows on the network. And I've been warning them. I said, we have some of the best educated radio listeners in radio history out here. So, man, I'm still waiting for Santa Claus to come into town, write me that million or billion dollar check and say, kid, we think you're on to it. Here's some cash. Run with it. Because what we're sadly lacking, there's a lot of confusion, a lot of emotional push button activity going on, a lot of knee jerking, the need, public safety, politician has a better idea as long as we can convince the unwashed masses, or I'm sorry, the voters, that we'll treat it as if it's democracy. And if you vote for this or give your ascendancy to it, if 51% of you agree, I'm seeing outrageous claims being made now about assault weapons bans. I'm seeing that 80% of the country wants to do away with assault weapons. Really? Where did they pull that little factoid out at? Out of their derriere? This story, Chicago Tribune pulled it down today. John Byrne said Mayor Rahm Emanuel today indicated he will put forth, see, we're getting indications here. Next Tuesday, we're going to get an indication from Barack Obama as to what he's going to do about the gun situation in this country. Rahm Emanuel indicated he will put forward his own city gun control ordinance, his own, in the next few days after state lawmakers did not reach agreement on the divisive issue. The reason it's divisive? It's a constitutional or God-given right, not a civil right. I have the right to protect myself. I'm sorry. The Keystone corporate coffer cops out there are under no obligation to protect me. They're out there for the property or to revenue for the corporation. Emanuel refused to give details about specifically his proposal and what it will address, but he said he isn't willing to wait until state lawmakers take up gun control. Now, you want to talk about dictatorial. Here's a guy, and Barack Obama, Mayor Bloomberg, all these characters are all saying the very same thing, that we cannot wait for one more death to happen at the hands of a madman with an AR whatever in their hands. Doesn't fill in a blank. They're going after AR-15s, but they have not mentioned the AK-47s, of which is my preference. I know the ammo's a little heavier, a little harder to carry, but I like the knockdown power. Okay, does the 223 shoot a little bit further? Yeah. But in close range, give me the AK, and I'll put my 90-round drum on it, thanks. But you want to limit me to 10 rounds or less. Which argument are they putting forth here? They want the magazines less than 10 rounds, but I'm saying that we want them banished. We want them outlawed. We want them to be illegal. During his let me back up here. Last month, a federal appeals court tossed out the state's long-standing ban on carrying concealed guns in public. The court gave the state 6 months to set up new rules. During his remarks today, Emanuel hit on several of the firearms regulations he said he would like to see in place of the state level since the Sandy Hook elementary school shootings in Connecticut. Yeah, and I'm not going to dive into the conspiracy pool on that one, but folks, that one stunk to high heavens. Waiting is not a strong suit of mine, Emanuel said when he was asked today about the General Assembly's failure to pass a proposed state ban on assault weapons. First of all, I believe theirs, and I know there's a majority in the state, an overwhelming majority in the city, for the ban on assault weapons, clips, and comprehensive background checks on all sales, wherever they take place, wherever the location may be, and there's also a majority in the legislature. Really? Then why can't you wait for them?
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
We're back. There was not, however, enough votes in the Illinois Senate last week to pass bans on assault weapons and high-capacity clips. The new legislature, featuring greater numbers of Democrats, was sworn in Wednesday. Well, okay, so if you're going to have your step-and-fetchins in your state legislature, why do you have to act extra-constitutionally? He's also spoken in recent weeks about the need for laws requiring people to report if their guns are lost or stolen. He said he'll introduce gun legislation to the city council at its meeting next week. It would then have to receive a committee hearing before coming back to full council for a vote at a later date. Council. Corporation overseers. He said, I will not wait when it comes to protecting our neighborhoods, our communities, and our children, the residents in the city of Chicago. He's been dogged by rising gun violence during his first term. His predecessor, Daley, saw the city handgun ban overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. Even when Chicago banned handguns, the city continued to be plagued by shootings, violence for decades. And he acknowledged a court fight over his upcoming plan. Well, court fight my rear end. Court fight that shouldn't even go to court. The man should leave office, go home, and don't show up tomorrow. Court fight over what? My right no matter where I am, to protect myself. He said that I can do certain things in the city. We're going to take those steps and do that. The mayor also nodded to the fact stronger gun regulations in Chicago will have limited impact if the state and federal governments don't also take action. Oh, so there is the admission, the tacit admission, that this is a coordinated effort. The story finishes out by, I hope this will not only be the responsibility I take for what I control, I hope it will be a spur to action for Springfield to take the next steps that are necessary for them. And he said this at Budlong Woods Library on the northwest side. So we're going to take this to the city council, the overseers of the corporation. We're not going to wait for the state legislature. And if we do this, we might have some blowback and, well, we'll just deal with that in court. Really? So now we can have dual citizens, mayor or not, supersede the Constitution and your God-given unalienable or unalienable rights. I don't think so, Mr. Emanuel. I don't think so. They're going to try anything and everything. And they figure if they can do it and give it the appearance of legitimacy, that it'll stand. Well, no, I stand for the Constitution and the rule of law. I don't know who you creatures are. I don't even know how to begin to describe you. I wouldn't even know where to deport you to. I don't even know of any other country that would accept you, except maybe a communist country. But you see, you're too used to your lavish lifestyles. You know, to come in the bottom rung of that totem pole, it just probably would not fit your lifestyle. Yeah. Man, the hits just keep on coming. Here is Ben Swan and his comments on Piers Morgan and some of the factoids that he researched. Now, would CNN, Fox News, even though that they're a Fox affiliate, Fox 19, the guys out of Ohio, Columbus, if memory serves, would any of these guys hire this guy? Well, they might. But they'd probably have to put in his contract that everything that's put on the teleprompter you will read with sincerity. This guy does his own research, and he's quite good at it. Here's a short piece from Ben Swan in Reality Check.
Over the past few weeks, the argument over gun control has raged, and among those demanding stricter gun laws is CNN host Piers Morgan. There's one particular stat that Morgan has been citing for weeks. In our commitment to balanced news, Ben investigates the truth behind it in Reality Check.
Last night on CNN's Piers Morgan Tonight, Morgan interviewed radio host Alex Jones. And to say it was wild, well, that would be an understatement. Here's just a small clip.
Answer this question. How many
guns... Why'd you get fired from the Daily Mirror for putting out fake stories? You're a hatchet man of the New World Order.
Let's try again. How many gun murders were there...
Oh, you're going to ban your fist now?
...in Britain last year?
How many chimpanzees can dance on the head of a pin? I already went over those statistics.
Do you know the answer?
No, I don't.
You said hundreds.
It's very low.
You said hundreds.
Yes.
It's actually 35.
Well, the point is you can...
Against 11,000.
As I said, it was wild, and it got even more wild than that. But we wanted to take a look at some of that exchange, because the stat that Piers Morgan was continuing to cite, one that Great Britain, which banned guns about 15 years ago, had only 35 gun-related murders in 2011, compared to the United States, which had 11,000. Let's start there, because that number is not correct. According to FBI crime stats for 2011, there were 12,664 homicides in the U.S. Of those, 8,583 were caused by firearms. But of those, 400 are listed as justifiable homicide by law enforcement, 260 justifiable homicide by private citizens. On the other hand, it is true that percentage-wise, Britain has a lower gun homicide rate. With a population of 62.6 million, Great Britain saw 59 gun-related homicides for 2011. Still, not the 35 Piers Morgan keeps citing. But that shouldn't be surprising that the gun homicide rate in a country that bans guns would be lower than in a country where guns are not banned. Where the argument falls apart is when you attempt to claim that fewer guns equals less crime. The U.S. has the highest gun ownership rate in the world, an average of 88 guns per 100 people. That puts it first in the world for gun ownership. Yemen is second with 54.8 guns per 100 people. So that means the U.S. has the highest gun murder rate as well, right? Well, no. Honduras, El Salvador, and Jamaica have higher rates. So do 24 other countries. The U.S., despite being number one in gun ownership, is number 28 in gun homicide, with a rate of 2.97 per 100,000 people. Of course, Piers Morgan isn't calling for the U.S. to be more like El Salvador and Honduras. He's calling for us to be more like Great Britain. So what do the numbers look like there? The U.K. has the second highest overall crime rate in the EU. The U.K. has the fifth highest robbery rate, the fourth highest burglary rate. But more importantly, the EU named Britain as the most violent country in the EU. In the UK, there are 2,034 violent crimes per 100,000 people. That puts it way ahead of even South Africa, with a rate of 1,609 per 100,000. In the United States, we're not even in the top 10. The U.S. has a violent crime rate of 466 crimes per 100,000 residents. So what this means for you is that while people like Morgan insist that the U.S. can learn from Great Britain, well, maybe we can. What we might learn is that violent crime is not the result of a gun or any tool. It is the result of the heart of men and women. And that is Reality Check.
You can find the sources for the story posted on our website at fox19.com. If you'd like to make your voice heard in the story, head over to Ben's Facebook page. Find it by searching Ben Swan.
And we are also putting a link to the full interview between Piers Morgan and Alex Jones. It's two parts. It is
it's worth watching. I was reading it last night.
You need to watch it,
though.
You have to watch it. Yeah.
Better still, read it. Better still, read it. Art, hello. You're on the air.
Hey, John. Alex is such a joke. He made himself look like such a bonehead. Oh, my God. That was just pathetic.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I mean, it was nice to hear somebody out shout Piers, which was refreshing. Anyway,
well, did you happen to see Larry Pratt went back on Piers Morgan last night? And during the introduction, Piers Morgan asked him, you know, why, Larry, did you want to come back? And, well, and he responded, to help you sell some newspapers. and Piers Morgan dropped his head and said, well, we're not selling newspapers. This is television. And he goes, oh, yeah. Pratt goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. But that was the direct thing with the UK newspaper, the Mirror, that he got fired of for concocting stories. So right out of the chute, he was a little bit more aggressive, but he was still Larry, very even. And they spent half the interview arguing about the gun statistics.
I'm going to have to go track that one down because I bet that was interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, talking about Obama and all of that, you know, with this new talk about gun legislation and whatnot. By the way, I have a copy of Obama's ban list, and the AK-47 and the AR-15 both are on that list.
Nuts.
But anyway, you know, none of this should really surprise anybody with their moves now, because if we just look back over Obama's first 4 years, whenever Congress didn't go along with what he wanted to do, he would bypass them in one way or the other. I mean, for example, the cap and trade, all right? Congress wouldn't pass it, so he went through the EPA to get his Clean Air Act. Mm-hmm. He did this when America stood up and said, no, we don't want the DREAM Act. So, you know, what an executive order. When he couldn't get approval under the War Powers Act for Libya, he went to the United Nations. Obama has made a history of ducking and dodging Congress at every turn just to get what he wants. And now with this talk about executive orders on gun control legislation, shouldn't surprise anybody. Just go back to February last year when Obama said at the Eisenhower executive office building with Biden standing right there, he said clearly, whenever Congress refuses to act, Joe and I are going to act, and in the months to come, wherever we have an opportunity, we're going to take steps on our own, with or without Congress.
There's your declaration of a tyranny, a direct dictatorship.
Absolutely.
And that should be grounds for immediate impeachment, and not this stuff that they did with Bill Clinton or Tricky Dick or anything else. Those are treasonous words.
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree more. And, you know, we got Eric Holder out there. Everybody keep in mind, this is the guy at the Women's National Democratic Convention in 1995 clearly stated, we need to brainwash the public into thinking differently about guns. I mean, we have a whole litany of just these tyrannical megalomaniacs in Washington are just absolutely hell-bent on destroying us. And I'll tell you something. I've been talking to some folks who actually voted for Obama the first time and turned around and voted for him the second time, and I've been asking them, these guys love their guns and their religion, and I've been asking them, how are you going to feel if Obama passes an executive order banning all of these? Because I'm over at their houses, and I know what they got. And I said, do you know that's on the ban list and that's on the ban list? And, well, I ain't giving up my guns. I don't care what he says. Wait a minute. I thought you were right along in the same category with guys like Louis Farrakhan, who thought this was the great Messiah going to come and save us all.
Well, you know, the way I'm starting to read this is simply this. They have got to get the guns out of the hands of the American people. They have to do this because of this corporate takeover that we were just discussing last hour, because they've trashed the economy and it will collapse. And I suppose some people will want their pound of flesh. What I want is my country back with honest statesmen in office that adhere strictly to the Constitution. That's what I want. That is the indication of a republic, not their damn democracy. They went way past democracy here, didn't they?
Oh, my God. They've gone. I don't even know. I tell you, John, to be honest with you, when I look around at everything that's going on, I'm not even sure tyrannical dictatorship or any of that actually is the right word, because I think they've gone beyond that point to where I'm starting to think that Obama actually does think he is the Messiah.
Well, and this is a takedown. They are going to take this country down and get what they want to fulfill their agenda, which is, number one, destroy this country, because it truly was a wealth builder. People worked in this country. They saved, they purchased, they owned. And the government couldn't touch it. Well, they figured out ways to tax you, to actually take your property rights away from you. If you don't pay your property tax, you lose your house. You know, on and on and on it goes. We've got to roll in Agenda 21. That's got a foothold here in America. We've got to implement that fully. And if it's really 75% of the property in this country that you and I are not going to be allowed to be on, and we're going to be herded into cities like cattle, well, don't you think that these people will be resisting at their fence line with their weapons?
Absolutely. Well, I know I will be, and I tell you, I've seen that map, and I ain't liking what little bit of land that they're offering us. But you know what, John, you're talking about a day that I want to see also, because that was a time when your goes in, as you, I'm going to use a little bit of your phraseology and kind of twist it around a little bit. That was back at a time when your goes into far exceeded your goes out of. Anyway, John, thanks a lot, brother. We'll talk at you another time.
All right, thank you. Yeah, we were the wealth builders. We were the sweaters. We were the doers. We built. We saved. We owned. We were the kings of our own castle. Not any longer. Or we are, But let me just remind the powers that be, that little often spoke of but not really understood by most people, possession is 9/10 of the law. Come and try to take it. You know, the government minions are going to figure out real quick, it ain't going to be safe to be a federal employee going out there confiscating, ordering, taking. No. It just ain't going to work for you. And who knows? This might, even Ron Paul came out and said that, you know, hey, they come and take the firearms, that could kick off the Second American Revolution. You know, what do we have to lose? Because they claim they own it all anyhow. They claim it's theirs to do with what they will and order us about like we're the indentured slaves. And the irony behind this is the people that voted for Obama, the people that were voting for hope and change, the people that saw his predecessor start to ball rolling on bailouts of the corporations, you know, the too big to fail companies because they're providing employment for so many. Oh, and the banks, well, our entire economic structure would collapse if the too big to fail banks would collapse. They should have, because the remedy or their solution is worse than the problem. They're not going to quit. They're hell-bent on this, and they are going to continue. And apparently, at their own peril. So, what is really going on here? As Art pointed out, are they following the mandates that we are going to come up with the solutions, irrespective of the federal legislature or the state legislatures, that we're going to start mandating and dictating for the public good? Oh, man. Yeah, let me see what court, if it's still standing, is going to put their stamp of approval on that one. By the way, there's been a small list compiled of the anti-gunners out there. You know, just not people like Wally World. You know, Wally World is enjoying the globalization process because everything on their damn shelves is built by everybody else on the planet for us to consume, spending our money that, well, we earned at existing jobs or whatever is left in this country to enrich people in foreign lands. Yeah. Who's behind the assault weapon bans? Well, no surprise, AARP, AFL-CIO, the Ambulatory Pediatric Association. Boy, that sounds like a big organization. The American Academy of Pediatrics. American Civil Liberties Union. Well, big surprise there. American Academy of Ambulatory Care Nursing. American Medical Women's Association. American Medical Student Association. American Medical Association. American Association for the Surgery and Trauma. American Trauma Society. American Federation of Teachers. American Association of School Administrators. Really? I thought the schools were asking for armed guards. Well, at any rate, I guess with 22 long rifles, if they ban those evil assault weapons. American Federation of Teachers, American Association of School Administrators, American Alliance for Rights and Responsibilities, American Medical Association, American Bar Association, American Counseling Association, American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry. Oh, there's a sterling group. Yeah, let's put your kids on SSRIs so they can grab the guns and go shoot their schoolmates. American Academy of Pediatrics. American Association for World Health. American Ethical Union. American Nurses Association. American Association of Neurological Surgeons. American Association of Family and Consumer Sciences. I don't even know what the hell that is. American Firearms Association. Really? American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry. Again, the pill poppers. American Jewish Committee. American Trauma Society. American Psychological Association. American Jewish Congress. Do they actually have a Congress here? Is that what I've been looking at all these years in Washington, D.C.? The American Jewish Congress? American Public Health Association, Americans for Democratic Action, the Anti-Defamation League. Now, there's another big surprise. Black Mental Health Alliance, B'nai B'rith, Central Conference of American Rabbis. And again, folks, if you track and trace where all this legislation, this gun legislation comes from, check your list. They're Jews. Not orange juice, not grape juice, Jews. Or should I say Zionist? Don't want to give Jews a bad name. Children's Defense Fund, Church of the Brethren, Coalition for Peace Action, Coalition to Stop Gun Violence, College Democrats of America. I don't even want to consider what that might be. Committee for the Study of Handgun Misuse and World Peace. Common Cause, Congress of National Black Churches, Inc. Congress of Neurological Surgeons, Consumer Federation of America, Council of the Great City Schools, Council of the Chief State School Officers, Dehir Foundation, Disarm Educational Fund. Well, at least they're honest in their name. Environmental Action Foundation, Episcopal Church, the Washington Office. Got to throw that one in there. The Florence and John Schumann Foundation. Friends Committee on National Legislation, General Federation of Women's Clubs, the George Gund Fund. I think that's supposed to be fund. Gray Panthers. Really? Where did we get Gray Panthers from? I knew we had Black Panthers. Did we have White Panthers? Are these two kind of... Is this the Mulatto Association of Gray Panthers? Oh, no. I guess that'd be the Butterscotch Crew. H.M. Strong Foundation, Harris Foundation, Heckengler Foundation, Interfaith Neighbors, International Ladies Garment Workers Union, International Association of Educators for World Peace, Jewish Labor Committee, the Joyce Foundation, the Lauder Foundation, the Lawrence Foundation, League of Women Voters of the United States, Lutheran Office for Governmental Affairs, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Manhattan Project 2. Huh. I know what the first one was. Hasten to even hazard a guess on what Manhattan Project 2 is. The Mennonite Central Committee, the Washington office. Wait a minute. The Mennonites? Aren't they akin to the Samsonites? Oh, no. Those are the luggage people. Sorry. National Safe Kids Campaign. National Association of Police Organizations, the Keystone Corporate Coffer Cops, that's right. National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, National Black Nurses Association. You know what I was thinking about the other day? This is amazing to me. I ran into a young man at one of the grocery stores down here locally, and I was getting deionized or reverse osmosis water in the grocery store. And I only carried in, I think, 2-3 gallon containers. But still, you know, you're huffing and dragging that stuff around. And I put it up on the counter with a little thud. And I looked at it and I said, you know, I've been working on this for years. I'm trying to figure out a way to have dehydrated water. Wouldn't it make it a heck of a lot easier to store and carry if you had dehydrated water? And he looked down at the jugs, and he looked at me with this kind of incredulous look. I said, I just can't figure out what to reconstitute it with. I guess it'd have to be water. Well, we're back to square one. I mean, it wasn't a half hour later. I'm down the street getting gas, and I walked into a little Stop and Rob. And I'm looking at the back of this kid's head, and I'm going, didn't I just see him a few minutes ago? And without him turning around, when the guy behind the counter was waiting on him, I just simply called out above the din of the store, hey, ask him about that dehydrated water. And the young man turned around and looked at me with the biggest grin on his face. And he was a very articulate and well-educated young black man. And on my way home, I was thinking to myself, why are we still seeing things in black and white? You white people out there, and I know I got Hispanic people and I got black people that listen to this radio program. I got a bunch of people of different walks of life, lawyers, doctors, you name it. a good cross-section of America. Do you people, when you get up in the morning, after you fluff and buff and shower and shave and primp and all that stuff, do you look in the mirror and go, boy, what an attractive white person I am? Do you do that? So why are we always cognizant of what another person's color of their skin is? And then it dawned on me. Because I'm not allowed to forget what another person's skin color is. The African-Americans. African-Americans. Now, what does that mean? And simply how we can do away with this is drop the hyphenated special class, I'm above or I'm segregated and I'm in my own little group over here. Can you not be a black of African descent? Can you not be an American, better still, of African descent? Much like, I mean, it'd be real hard for me to try to classify myself and be politically correct that I'm an Irish, Italian, German-American. Boy, that's lengthy to say. But as I was thinking about that young man, I thought, you know, isn't it a shame? And I didn't think about it until after I was driving home that he was black. I know that might sound odd, but just the exchange, just the big smile, the intelligence behind those eyes, I didn't look at him and say, you know, I kind of like that black guy. I liked the guy. But see, we're not allowed to forget. And Lincoln did say this, but it was in regards to they wanted to centralize power versus you Southern folks. We got some plans for you and the structure of the federal government. And don't worry, we'll get around to you as well at state level a little bit later. But Lincoln said this, and I'm going to hijack his saying to do with the culture here in this country. A house divided cannot stand. But there have been people that have constantly made sure that the house was divided, and to the point that most black Americans, the majority, and that's over 51%, don't have the exact figures, but they are in a special, and they've been kept in a special low class unto themselves. Not done by the white master, done by their own people. And when I say own people, people of light color. The Jesse Jacksons of the world, the Al Sharptons of the world, people that had special legislation passed because of a person's skin color that you couldn't discriminate. I don't discriminate against another man or another woman because of their skin color. I come to my own conclusions as to how that person treats me. And lo and behold, look what the real behind-the-curtain masters have brought you. A dependent welfare mentality that you're now, you think you got civil rights? You got nothing. And you're begging on bended knee to the government for your very subsistence. Is there something inherently wrong here? I got my Obamacare. Yeah, I get welfare. I get my rent paid. Yeah, I'm going to vote for Obama again. And they will. For the Hispanics that have entered into this country illegally, they're going to vote for Obama. They're going to continue for voting for people like this because there's special dispensation. For the Hispanics, citizenship, maybe. You entered illegally, you broke our laws, We've rewarded you through our cities and counties and states, giving you stuff that you absolutely had no right to have by way of the current benefits set up from the federal government or from the state governments. You had absolutely no right. And then they turned around and says, we have rights. You don't have rights in this country because you ain't a citizen of this country. Back to my list. Sorry, I just had to do a little mini rant there. The National Safe Kids Campaign, the National Association of Police Organizations, big surprise, National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, National Assembly of National Voluntary Health and Social Welfare Organizations, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP. Yeah, a mind is a terrible thing to waste, and so is the efforts of a human being. National Association of School Psychologists, National Association of Counties, National Association of Pediatric Nurse Associates and Practitioners, National Association of School Safety and Law Enforcement Officers. I'm going to quit reading the list. It goes on too long. But you start a little organization, and then your name is proudly displayed as this is what you want. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your organization is. I don't care how many members of your organization you have. I am going to stay by the principle of law. I'm not going to budge from that. But here's the catch-22. They want to change the laws. But the laws that they want to change supersede the Constitution. Whoops. What do we do about that, aside from ignoring it? By the way, our once Sam Kennedy, actually Glenn Richard Unger was his name, is his name, 62 years of age, an Ogdenburg man, has been indicted on federal allegations that he filed fraudulent tax refund claims worth $36 million, according to a statement released today by U.S. Attorney Richard N. Hartunen. The indictment enumerates a staggering list of alleged claims by Glenn Richard Unger from 2007 to 2011, including a $35 million refund sought in March of 2008. Prosecutors allege fraudulent filings in Saratoga and Albany counties and activities in the Northern District of New York and elsewhere, although the indictment does not specifically mention Ogdenburg or St. Lawrence County. No address for him was listed, and his connection to the area was unclear. Calls and an email to the U.S. Attorney's office were not returned Monday afternoon. A federal grand jury in Syracuse last month returned a 7-count indictment against Mr. Unger, accusing him of obstructing and impeding the Internal Revenue Service. That indictment was unsealed last week, and it goes into the list of charges. Evidently, I don't think Mr. Unger paid a dime in taxes, and then he was in there trying to get $36 million out of it. Oh, Mr. Kennedy, how we have gone afoul. And a long time ago, when he was on this network, I warned him, you know, you start doing the Freeman stuff with the liens or anything else, you're out of here. I wasn't even aware of that. And evidently, he was on the air on this network when he was filing with the IRS. Holy mackerel. At any rate, folks, thanks for being here today. Back tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report.